Today is the 15th day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's great to be here with you today. Here we are in the middle of the month. Just kind of passing through the middle of another one of our months together. And obviously we'll be picking up where we left off, which will lead us back into the book of 1 Samuel. And we have had the opportunity to observe Israel's first king, Saul. Today, we're going to start seeing the intertwining of another person's life. His name is David, and he will be King David at some point. But at this point, he's a musician who plays for the king when the king is disturbed. He carries the king's armor. He's known by the king. But he's also about to become an international celebrity, even though that's not what his goal was. And so let's pick up the story. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1 through 18, verse 4 today. Now the Philistines gathered their troops for battle. They gathered at Soko, which belongs to Judah, and they camped between Soko and Azekah at Ephes Damim. Saul and the men of Israel also gathered together and camped in the valley of Elah. They lined up in battle formation opposite the Philistines. The Philistines took up a position in front of the mountain on one side of the valley, and the Israelites stationed themselves in front of the mountain on the other side of the valley. A challenger who represented the Philistines came out from the camp of the Philistines. He was named Goliath of Gath. He was 9 feet 6 inches tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head. And he wore scaled body armor, which was made of more than 100 pounds of bronze. He had bronze greaves on his shins, and a bronze spear slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead was made of 15 pounds of iron. His shield bearer went out ahead of him. He would stand up and shout to the armies of Israel, "Why have you come out to line up in battle formation? I am a Philistine, and you are servants of Saul, aren't you? Choose a man to represent you and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, we will be your servants. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our servants, and you will serve us." The Philistine would say, "I defy the ranks of Israel today. Give me a man and we will fight each other." When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they lost their courage and were terrified. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite from Bethlehem in Judah, whose name was Jesse. Jesse had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, Jesse was a very old man. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had accompanied Saul to the battleground. The names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were his firstborn Eliab, next Abinadab, and 3rd Shammah. David was the youngest son. The 3 oldest accompanied Saul. During this time, David went back and forth from Saul to take care of his father's sheep at Bethlehem. The Philistine came out each morning and evening for 40 days and presented his challenge. Jesse said to his son David, "Take 25 pounds of this roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers. Deliver them quickly to the camp for your brothers. Also take these 10 blocks of cheese to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are doing and bring back some assurance they are okay." Now Saul, David's brothers, and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah to fight with the Philistines. David got up early in the morning and left the sheep with someone who would watch them. He took the supplies and set out as Jesse had commanded him. He arrived at the outer defense line of the camp just as the army was marching out to line up in battle formation, shouting war cries as they went. Israel and the Philistines were lining up for battle, one formation against the other. After David had handed over his provisions to the supply officer, he ran to the battlefront, where he met and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them there, he saw the Philistine challenger named Goliath of Gath coming up out of the ranks of the Philistines. He repeated his usual words, and David heard them. Whenever they saw the man, all the men of Israel fled from him and were terrified. An Israelite had said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? He keeps coming up to taunt Israel. The king will give great riches to the man who kills him. He will give his daughter to him in marriage and make his father's house exempt from taxes in Israel." David spoke to the men who stood near him. He asked, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who dares to defy the troops of the living God?" The people again told him what would be done for the man who killed Goliath. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard David speaking to the men, he burned with anger against David. He said, "Why have you come down? Who is taking care of those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the mischief in your heart. You have come down just to see the battle." David said, "What have I done now? Can't I say anything?" So David turned away from him toward another person, and he asked the same thing again, and the soldiers again answered him the same way. When they heard what David said, they reported it to Saul, and he sent for David. David said to Saul, "Do not let anyone lose heart because of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." But Saul said to David, "You cannot go against this Philistine to fight with him, because you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior since he was a youth." David said to Saul, "Your servant has been taking care of his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the lamb out of its mouth. When the lion reared up against me, I grabbed it by its mane, struck it, and killed it. Your servant struck both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has defied the ranks of the living God." David added, "The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go then. May the Lord be with you." So Saul dressed David in his own gear. He placed a bronze helmet on his head and dressed him in scaled body armor. David strapped his sword over his gear. David tried to walk around in them, since he had never trained with this kind of equipment before. David said to Saul, "I cannot go in these, because I have never trained with them." So David took them off. Then David took his staff in his hand and picked 5 smooth stones out of the stream bed and put them into the pouch of his shepherd's bag. He took his sling in his hand and approached the Philistine. The Philistine kept walking and got closer and closer to David. The man who was carrying his shield was walking ahead of him. When the Philistine got a good look at David, he despised him because David was just a boy, nothing but a good-looking red-headed boy. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come against me with sticks?" The Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will feed your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the countryside." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the ranks of Israel, whom you have defied. Today, the Lord will hand you over to me. I will strike you down and cut off your head." Today I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth. Then all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. For the battle belongs to the Lord, and he will deliver you into our hand. Then, when the Philistines started advancing to attack David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand into his bag, took a stone from it, shot it from his sling, and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down to the ground. So David defeated the Philistine with a sling and a stone. He struck the Philistine and killed him, even though David did not have a sword in his hand. So David ran, stood over the Philistine, took hold of his sword, drew it out of its sheath, killed him, and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. The men of Israel and Judah got up, cheering loudly, and pursued the Philistines toward the entrance of the valley all the way to the gates of Ekron. Fatally wounded Philistines lined the road from Shaaraim all the way to Gath and Ekron. When the Israelites returned from pursuing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put the Philistine's armor and weapons into his tent. When Saul saw David go out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this young man?" Abner said, "As your soul lives, my king, I do not know." The king said, "Inquire whose son the young man is." As David returned from striking down the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem." When David had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan became bound to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved David as he loved his own soul. Saul took David into his service that day and would not let him go back to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Jonathan took off the robe that he was wearing and gave it to David, as well as his other gear, including his sword, his bow, and his belt. John 8:21-30. So he told them again, "I am going away. You will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Jews asked, "He won't kill himself, will he? Because he says, 'Where I am going, you cannot come.'" "You are from below," he told them. "I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. That is why I told you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am the one, you will die in your sins." "Who are you?" they asked. Jesus replied, "What I have been telling you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. But the one who sent me is true, and what I heard from him, these are the things I am telling the world." They did not understand that he was talking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one, and that I do nothing on my own, but I speak exactly as the Father taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I always do what pleases him." As he was saying these things, many believed in him. Psalm 111. God's works and God's word. praise the Lord. I will thank the Lord with all my heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Great are the deeds of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic is his work, and his righteousness stands forever. He has set up a memorial to his wonders. Gracious and compassionate is the Lord. He gives food to those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has declared the power of his deeds to his people, to give them the nations as their possession. The works of his hands are truth and justice. All his precepts are trustworthy, steadfast forever and ever, done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption for his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who do his precepts have good understanding. His praise stands forever. Proverbs 15:11. Death and destruction lie open before the Lord. How much more human hearts? Okay, so we read one of the most famous stories in the Bible today, the story of David and Goliath. And if we remember, Goliath was a giant, 9.5 feet tall, a big, big, big guy. And we remember that we've seen giants along the way, all the way from the beginning of the Bible. Remember when the spies came into the land and they were looking it over and they came back with their report and they said, it's a great land. It's awesome. We just can't take it. There are giants there, right? And so here's David now facing a giant, which makes this a bit of a mythic battle as well as a physical battle. And so we find ourselves in the Valley of Elah. The Elah Valley. It's a place, like I'm thinking of it in my mind. We were just through there a couple of months ago. It's a fertile valley in the lowlands. And the lowlands coming off the Judean hills and going out to the sea. It's a very fertile area. Very, very good for agriculture. And there's this valley. And there are ancient cities along the valley like Azekah and Soko and Adullam and Sha'arayim. And these settlements are mentioned in the Bible, and they kind of go all along the valley. This is like an ancient borderland. And so they're kind of out lined up at their border. The two armies opposing one another. It's like a standoff that's ongoing. And each day, Goliath the giant comes out from the army of the Philistines to defy the armies of Israel and to defy Israel's God. And to taunt, right? To intimidate in any way that he can the Israelite army. And he's offering terms of war, basically going, I'm the hero of the Philistines. Send out whoever the Israelite hero is. Send him out. We'll have a man-on-man conflict. We will represent each other's armies. Lots of people don't have to die, just one. If I kill your hero, then you're our servants. We win. If your hero kills me, we'll be your servants. You win. It's only that there is no Israelite hero willing to go and face Goliath one-on-one. Meanwhile, we have the shepherd boy, David, who's tending sheep, and his father sends him to check on his brothers who are in the army at the front. And he goes. He goes. He's supplying them. He's bringing goods and gifts for their leaders, their direct commanders. And so he comes into the camp about the time that the giant is spouting off, and he's asking what's going on, and they're like, come look at the giant. And then the word spreads to David's ears, like, there is a reward for the person brave enough to go and try to kill this giant. The person that kills this giant His family will be free of taxes. He will become a prince in Israel. He will get to marry the daughter of the king. And David, in his youth, is just looking at the situation going, okay, can you repeat that one more time? Because he's ready to go. And his enthusiasm eventually reaches the king. And the king interviews David about going down and facing the giant. And David's like, look, I faced a lion before and I faced a bear before. And God delivered me from them both. And I rescued the sheep that they were trying to cart off. Like this giant Goliath is no more of a threat to me than they were. God will deliver us. And so King Saul dresses David in his own armor to send him into the battle. It's just that David can't really maneuver in Saul's armor, which really does give us a picture here. You can't really fight your battles with somebody else's defenses. For David to go into battle with Goliath wearing the king's armor that he is not used to, does not know how to navigate in, doesn't even know how to really maneuver in, is to say, I'm going into battle and I am not equipped for this battle because I am essentially pretending to be somebody else. I can't go into battle like this. I need to go as I am, as I'm used to, with what I have, how I understand how I'm supposed to maneuver. I have to go. God will save me. And that's what we end up seeing happen. David goes into battle as himself, as a shepherd boy. And when Goliath does see David coming to him without armor and his slingshot, he's like, am I a dog? Are we here to play fetch? Did you come down here to play fetch with me? Am I a dog that you've come to me with sticks? I'm going to destroy you, little man. And that's when David rises up and we see this moment where David's like, no, you won't. There is a God in Israel and you have defied the God of Israel. You made a colossal mistake. You are going down today. The battle is the Lord's. And David slays the giant Goliath. And there's so much there just for us to consider in our own trials and our own adversities and the things that we have to face. And are we trying to face them as ourselves? Even though we feel ill-equipped, is the battle the Lord's, or are we trying to suit up with somebody else's defenses and take matters into our own hands? There's plenty for us there. But as the story goes, though, this is the end of life as David knew it. His life in this moment is irreversibly changed. His life is irreversibly entangled with the king's life, King Saul's life now. David, like the word of this victory and the routing of the Philistines is spreading faster than the army can move. And all, just like that, just like in a moment, David is now a national hero and is gaining international fame. He won't be able to just be a shepherd boy anymore. And so David has to grow up, and we will watch this in these next days. David has to grow up very, very, very quickly and has to get very wise and accomplished very fast, as we will see in the coming days. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this story and just how much is embedded in it for our own lives as we face the obstacles of any given day, the giants of any given week or month that have to be faced, and how it is that we go about that, whether we truly believe the battle is yours and we must be who we are in the moment, or whether we feel like we've got to somehow pretend to be stronger than we are and go into battle pretending to be something different. So much for us. And so come, Holy Spirit, into these issues of life. But we are also watching the story of David emerge in the scriptures. And so, Holy Spirit, come. Teach us what we need to know from Saul. Teach us what we need to know from David. Guide our steps, illuminate our path, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That's home base, and that is where you can find out what's going on around here. Alternatively, the Daily Audio Bible app can be downloaded from the app store that works with your device. And that makes it all nice and tidy and convenient. So check that out. Just search for Daily Audio Bible and you can download the app for free. And while you're checking out, check out the community section. This is where you'll find links to different social media channels that we participate in. It is also the home of the prayer wall. And that is always there for us. 24 hours a day, we can always go there and share with our brothers and sisters what's going on. Ask them to pray for us. It's also the place to go to pray for brothers and sisters who need encouragement. So that's the prayer wall that can be found in the community section on the app or on the website. So check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if this mission to keep bringing the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anybody, anywhere, anytime, and to build community around the rhythm of just showing up for each other here around the global campfire and knowing that we're not alone as we take this journey. If that is life-giving, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996. Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, DAB brothers and sisters, this is Byron out in Florida. I hope you guys are doing well. I am calling for Max. Max, I heard your call on May 10th, and you called in talking about how you suffer from anxiety and depression, and sometimes you feel like you're living the life that God has called you to live, and then other days you're just paralyzed with fear, and that fear causes guilt and causes this spiral. Brother, I hear you. I think about that myself. I'm like, how can one day I be like, yes, I know it, I get it, I'm moving in it, and the other day I'm like totally doing the backwards thing. But the one thing God has shown me in my journey, and I hope this is helpful to you, is that the thing that God wants most out of us, the thing that is the most telling of our Christianity, is that God loves us. He loves us. And that's the main thing that he wants from us in this life, is to know and experience his love to our innermost places. And so just know, on those days when you're on it and you're feeling his will and you're moving in that action, and in those days where you're paralyzed with fear and you can't move and you're second guessing everything, on both those days, God loves you completely, totally, fully, and exactly the same. And so just lean towards him and let go of all these things that you put in your head that you wanted to do. Trust me, I've been there too. And when you release those expectations, you'll find the Lord has been waiting there all along. And from that place of strength, you can, bit by bit, get to where he wants you to be, which is only enabling you to feel his love even more. So be blessed, brother. I'm praying for you. I love you. Take care.
Good morning, folks. This is DAB. This is Andrew from Somerset, UK. I ask you for prayer for my marriage in a good way. We celebrate on the 14th of this month, May, our 40th year of marriage. I ask the Lord to continue to bless us and carry on as we have been going on. It has been wonderful 40 years, up and down as usual. We have three wonderful children and a grandchild on the way. So we thank the Lord for my marriage to my wife Judith, and hope the Lord can bless us throughout. Thank you.
Good morning, Dab siblings. This is God's Chosen from Georgia. I listened to the podcast this morning and my heart was so broken, because there are just so many needs, so many needs, so many terrible and urgent needs that requires our Lord's attention. I don't even know where to start, but one thing I do know is that our God is loving, our God is compassionate, our God is faithful. And he has not given any mortal any authority to stand in his own place. So we cry out to you this morning, Lord Jesus. We call upon you today and ask that you would come and attend to all our needs. We need your divine and supernatural intervention. We need you to move like you have never done before. We need you to heal. We need you to restore. We need you to reconcile. We need you, Lord, to provide. We need you to just show up. Show up in all these situations. Mothers desperately longing for their children to be healed. People so distraught and destroyed, not knowing where to turn. Abba, Father, we love you, we need you, and we know you are more than able to meet us, to come alive for us. We need you.
Hey, my beautiful Dab fam. This is Kingdom Seeker Daniel. Family, I want to lift up a couple of Dabbers, so let's pray. Father, I come to you on behalf of our brother, Daniel Johnson Jr. from beautiful Cincinnati. And Lord, you see what he's up against. You see the struggle that he's been facing for a time, just not being able to adequately provide for his family. We do thank you for the open door for employment that you have opened recently. But God, we ask that you will strengthen him and encourage his heart. And I plead the blood of Jesus against the lies and the tricks and the schemes of the devil, who wants to lie to him and tell him that his worth and his value is in what he can produce for his family. God, I thank you, Lord, that who he is not based on what he can do. So God, remind our brother of that, as I'm sure he knows. But the enemy is a liar, and he is always looking to bring us down in our thinking process. So God, strengthen my brother, build him back up, and cause him to know who he is in you. And then for our brother Tom from Texas, who is feeling desperate. He's been divorced. His kids have been estranged from him. He's feeling alone. And it seems like that you're far away, God, though we know you are very near. His health is in decline and things seem to be slipping away. God, I pray that you will rescue our brother in every situation that he's experiencing. Would you allow him to experience your nearness, your healing, your strength, your comfort, your peace, and restoration with his children, in Jesus' name.
Hi, good afternoon, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Dean. I've been listening to the Daily Audio Bible since 2010, and it's been a real blessing to my life. But on March 28th, I was given some news that basically devastated me, when they had said I had cancer, prostate cancer, and they said that it was a serious kind and a biopsy was required to determine, as the urologist called it, what flavor of this aggressive cancer that I had. And so being blindsided by that, I was devastated. I was on my hands and knees praying, crying out to God, and wondering why this is happening, and just didn't know what to expect. But the biopsy was scheduled for the April 21st, and this news was received on March 28th. So I had 3 weeks to ask God for prayer and to deliver me on the other side of the situation. And so last week I received a call Thursday after the biopsy was done on the 21st. It was approximately 9 days later, and the nurse called and said, "Mr. Smith, we have good news. Your biopsy is negative. You have no cancer." Literally, I was so excited that I wanted to just jump through the ceiling of my office and just hug God. So I guess calling to say this, that, you know, trust in God, put your faith, and He will deliver you. And that is what He has done for me in my life. And so this is to praise Him, to thank Him, and to lead.
Hi, James, the school teacher from LA. This is Karen from Maine, formerly from Southern California. I heard your call. It touched my heart. We don't often get to meet our DAB family members in person, but I did get to meet you in LA years ago. At that time, you and your wife were blessed with a beautiful baby girl. You had on the garment of praise that Isaiah 61:3 speaks of. Now, years later, you speak of the spirit of heaviness that is surrounding you due to pressures on your job and in your life. Right now, I want you to know that you are being prayed for by many, especially for me. I am asking the Lord to bless you again and give you beauty from ashes, remove the spirit of heaviness, and dress you again in the garment of praise, all spoken of in Isaiah 61:3. I pray that once again, you will understand being in the true righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you're planted to bring glory to Him once again. Don't give up. You're being prayed for.